folks that'll probably join us during the meeting, which is fine. Okay, I've got, as usual, this may be the last Zoom meeting that we do, or at least the last completely virtual meeting that we do. We'll just have to see. We had planned on perhaps making this a hybrid meeting, and due to several circumstances, decided to just make it Zoom. But our plan is in the near future to begin hybrid meetings in person. Okay, this is President of Harris County MUD 136, Neil Polansky, speaking. July board meeting of Harris County MUD 136 is now called to order. The video conference meeting is being audio recorded per the Texas Open Meeting Regulations and direction from the Attorney General of Texas. Members of the public may request to listen to the audio recording of the meeting after conclusion of the meeting, and the transcript is posted on our website. I hope everyone is staying well during this time. The board is conducting this meeting via video conference to protect the safety of the board members and the public. I'm now going to take a roll call to identify everyone on the call. Please answer present or here or whatever. Director Polansky is obviously here. Barry Greer?
Here.
Brent Phelps is, I believe, not going to be here. He's in the hospital recovering from gallbladder surgery. So we all wish Brent a quick and speedy recovery. Adam Rodriguez?
Here.
Eric Worthington? I see you, Eric.
Muted.
You're muted. I can't hear you. can we count that as a here, Jane, being that we see him?
Jane, we can count that as a here.
Okay. All right. So we do have a quorum. I'll call the roll of consultants. Fran and Matushka?
I'm here.
Okay. Hi, Fran. Patty Rodriguez? Patty may join us in a few minutes. Bob Wimpy also will not be here. He emailed me that he had a last-minute conflict. Keith Arant?
I'm here.
Jane Mayer?
Present.
Dimitri Millis?
Present.
And anybody else whose name I didn't call who considers themselves a consultant?
My name is Julia McCain. I'm with the auditor.
Julia, thank you and welcome. I would now ask for any members of the public or participants on this call that were not named to clearly state your name for the record.
It's Colleen Bear. I'm just here observing.
Welcome.
Glenn Summers.
Welcome.
Brent Burris, calling in for the Deerfield HOA.
Welcome. Anybody else?
Neil, this is Patty Rodriguez with Bob Leard Interest. Sorry, I was on mute.
That's okay. Welcome, Patty. All right. To promote order and avoid confusion, I ask everyone follow these guidelines. Identify yourself each time before you speak. Conclude your comments with the word pass or otherwise indicate that you are finished to pass the conversation back to the group. And public comments will be limited to 3 minutes under the public comments section. Okay, we will proceed with the meeting. Agenda item number one is public comments. Do I hear anybody from the public? Keep in mind that as we discuss different items on the agenda, we will entertain any public-related comments during those the appropriate time. One more call for public comments. Okay, hearing none. Agenda item number two is approving the minutes of the meeting of June 10th, 2021. It has been brought to our attention by Mr. Summers that there may be inaccuracies or misrepresentations in the minutes, the draft minutes as they have been written. We have directed our legal assistant, Jane Mayer, to review the minutes in draft form and the transcript of the meeting of June 10th and make any applicable changes or modifications to the minutes based on her review of the transcript. Therefore, because the minutes may require extensive or not, but they'll require review, we're going to postpone the approval of the minutes of June 10th to our August meeting. Are there any comments or questions on that?
This is Glenn Summers. I just thought that the comments I made in the public comments last time was not correct, so I sent you guys a note to that effect and asked for that to be included in the minutes tonight, and you have quickly responded and Jane has responded, and I'm sure it'll look fine after you guys get the update, so thank you.
You're welcome. Any other comments or questions regarding agenda item number 2? Okay, we'll move on. Agenda item number 3, approving the audit for fiscal year ended March 31, 2021. Julia, I believe that's you.
And, that's
if
me.
You could take it away.
I will. Thank you so much. My name is Julia McCain. I'm an audit manager here at McCall Gibson Sweetland Barfoot. And I wanted to direct your attention to the first two pages. That's the pages that contain our audit opinion. And it is our opinion that the financial statements do fairly present the financial condition of the district in all material respects. So that's the kind of opinion that you want to have. I would direct your attention to the paper page number 9. That is the operating statement. And you can tell when we get there. Jane, you're doing a great job. Takes a while to scroll through that. The general fund balance is a little more than what you spent in expenditures in the last fiscal year. And so the district is in a good stead should anything unforeseen arise. You'll have adequate funds to take care of that. I would point you to paper page number 18, which is where the capital asset schedule is. You'll note that there was a little over $600,000 in increases in the construction in progress line. That is the water plant electrical improvements, construction and engineering, up through pay estimate number 5 that was approved up through March 31st. Page 21 on the paper.
Julia, can we go back to that page for a second?
Certainly.
There has been the subject of some conversation within the board and also within the homeowners association regarding a potential repair that we want to do with a surface defect in some lines above a Harris County 84-inch storm sewer line under the patio homes. We do not list in the audit any assets related to stormwater conveyance. Is that correct?
There are some drainage system assets listed.
Okay.
Let me look real quick and see if those are particular to a given section. One thing about a Zoom meeting is I can actually call it up live in my files while I'm sitting here in the office.
I guess that's a good thing.
Well, you had a particular question. It gives me opportunity to answer it. That's assuming that my system's actually going to work. Here we go. The drainage assets that I see are related to the storm sewer collection system in the Deer Village patio homes, section 1, 2, and 3. And those were capitalized back in 1993. It's a very small amount. It's only 60, what is it, 60, 73,000?
Yes.
Yes.
Does it specifically say what those drainage facilities are?
Other than what I stated, that's all it says.
Okay. The reason that I bring that up is we have gotten indications from the Harris County Flood Control District that they believe that the 84-inch twin conveyance lines for storm sewer that are fed into by our drainage ditch, they have made we believe that they, I'm sorry?
I didn't say anything.
Okay. I believe that they, that there's some thought that they may belong to the MUD. We have never, as long as I've been associated with MUD 136, carried the 84-inch twin conveyance lines under the patio homes as a capital asset. They would certainly be more than $73,000. We're concerned, and we need to get some proof. We need to get Harris County Flood Control District to admit ownership of those conveyance lines. And when we do whatever work that we need to do above ground, we'll notify Harris County of that fact. But I just wanted to make sure via this question that it doesn't appear that those 84-inch conveyance lines under the patio homes are listed as a capital asset.
I would agree that 84-inch lines would be worth a whole lot more than $73,000, even constructed in 1975, which is the record of when this was constructed. We got it on our records in 1993 when we started working with y'all.
Right, and those lines are carried on Harris County Flood Control District maps as being their facility.
Mm-hmm.
It actually has a map number that is the same as that which is the open ditch in the middle of Deerfield. So every sign points to Harris County Flood Control District being the owner and responsible party for those 84-inch lines. And I just wanted to, like I said, I just wanted to kind of verify that we don't list that as an asset and never have on our audit.
That is a correct statement.
Okay. Thank you.
Would you like for me to continue briefly?
Yeah. Yes, please.
Okay. Page 21, on the paper pages, 21. I just wanted to point out the amounts in the middle of the page that show what the district recorded as their share of the operating costs of the sewage treatment plant, because that's disclosed in the report. And then on the next page, note 11 on maintenance and repair, this is a note that is a little different on your report than it is on any of my other clients. And so I just wanted to show you that that information was updated for the current year experience that this district has had. So for whatever reason that the board wanted to have the maintenance and repair information, those numbers have been updated. Page 27, I just wanted to tell you that this has been updated with the rate order that was approved March 11th of 2021. It has updated information. And then I was just going to go to the last couple of pages. Those deal with board members and consultants, and I encourage you to look at that to see. I want to make sure we've got your name spelled correctly. I want to make sure that we have the terms accurate. So it's paper page 37, Jane, if that's helpful. There's one for the board members right there. And then the next one is for any consultants. And just let me know if you have any corrections or concerns about those. The only other thing that I wanted to speak about briefly, when I would attend a meeting in person, I would have handed out to the board members that were present a representation letter. It is the correspondence that's called the BOD, Board of Directors letter. And it just takes up to today's date the representations that you've made to us, that you followed the laws as well as you've understood them. You've made the records available to us. If you were aware of any fraud or illegal acts, you would let us know. It takes about four pages of accounting speak to say all of that, but it brings it up to today's date. I would like to request the board consider perhaps authorizing one person, one board member present, to sign that rather than have to have all board members sign it. That is sufficient for my purposes if it meets with your approval. That's all I have, unless someone has a question for me.
Is the approval, this is Neil, is the approval of the audit required at this meeting?
It is March year end, so you probably have a little more time to approve it in order to still meet the TCEQ filing deadline.
So am I to assume that we could put it on the agenda for next month?
This is Julia. That certainly will, it won't, you can still meet the filing deadline if you approve it next month. Someone would just leave to let me know if I need to attend again.
Okay. And the letter that you just made reference to, that could also be approved as well as the approval to have one board member sign?
Yes, sir. And the letter and the audit should all be acted on at the same time.
Okay. I would like to postpone consideration of the audit until our August meeting so that the board members have an opportunity to review carefully. And if they have any comments or questions during the next month period, they can contact you directly and you can respond to them. I'd just like to give them an opportunity to review.
Julia, this is Barry Greer. There's a letter that's attached, I think, at the rear, at the end of it, dated July 8th, to the Board of Directors, and it speaks to what you all term material weaknesses. Now, I can remember in years past that we've had explanations about that, but I thought possibly, I don't know if Eric and Adam have had that sufficiently explained or not, because it, when you read that, it's almost like some kind of a negative, but I understand that it's not. It's part of the audit process. Can you speak to that briefly?
I sure will, Barry. This is Julia. We can prepare your audit financial reports, but we have to maintain our independence. And the accounting rules require us to tell you that you don't have someone on staff with the expertise to do this. It is a letter that goes out to 95% of our clients. I've never seen it impact a bond issue approval at the TCEQ, nor any other financing that a district needed to obtain. It's just something that is required in the accounting literature that we're required to do. I don't even personally agree that it's necessary, but that doesn't change the fact that I have to comply with it. It's really scary, and I've not seen it affect in a negative way any district that I work with.
Thank you.
Okay, are there any other questions or comments on the audit, which we will be tabling for the time being and taking up again at our August meeting.
This is Adam. I don't see Texas Pride listed as our consultants list. Do they need to be on there?
This is Julia. It's not a requirement under the Water District Financial Management Guide, but it is, you may add it if that's the wish of the board.
Adam, is that something you'd like
to add? I would like to see that added on there. They seem like a relatively big consultant for us in terms of, well, at least dollars spent anyway. So, yeah, that was my one comment for now.
Hey, Julia, this is Dimitri. The filing requirement with the TCQ is, if I'm not mistaken, it's 135 days after the end of the fiscal year. So if our end, our fiscal year end is March 31, which 4.5 months later is mid-August, and we meet on the 12th, that does give us a couple days, right?
This is Julia. Yes, it does. I'm looking up right now what the exact filing deadline is because we have it in our records. August the 13th.
One day. Okay.
One day.
All right.
But you can meet it.
Yeah.
It's up to the board.
Well, do I hear any comments from the board is there a board consensus that we can go ahead and approve the audit as is and authorize one of us to sign the reference letter? Or do you want time to review?
This is Barry. I, for one, have read through enough of it. I believe that I'm in a position to go ahead and make a motion and vote on approval.
Any other comments?
This is Adam. I'd also be comfortable approving today.
Anyone else? I guess that's Eric.
I'm fine.
This is Barry. I might say with that one addition of Texas Pride disposal.
Okay. Then we will. And how do you all feel about having one of us sign the letter? What exactly is the title of that letter, Julia?
It's the Board of Directors Representation Letter.
Okay. Make a motion.
This is Barry. I'd like to make a motion that we approve of the audit with the noted correction and appoint Neil to make appropriate signature.
Seconds.
Okay, we have a motion and second. Any discussion? Okay, hearing no discussion, I'll take a roll on the question. Director Polanski votes yes. Barry Greer?
Yes.
Adam Rodriguez?
Yes.
Eric Worthington?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, motion carries 4-0. We approve the audit and forward a copy of the letter or let me know under which format you want it signed and transmitted, Julia.
This is Julia. It's fine with me if you sign it and scan it and attach it to an email.
Okay, that's the BOD letter that you've already transmitted to us?
Yes, sir.
And Neil, I can include that in like a little signature packet I can send to you, the docs to be signed.
Okay, all right, that's fine. Let's do that. The audit is approved. Thank you. Thank you, Julia. All right, agenda item number 4, bookkeeper's report. Fran.
Well, hi, it's Fran Matushka. You've got your bookkeeping report there. Shows $790,255 in your general fund after we pay bills. Your capital improvement fund will have $1.194 million. And just to note, the current rate in text pool, the average rate for June, 0.0131, which actually is up ever so slightly from the prior month. The second page, you've got last month's cash activity, $183,248 deposited. You can see the vast majority of that is, of course, payments from your customers. That does cover all of May and a portion of April. And then, of course, the checks listed there, y'all did approve at your June meeting, with the exception of the very first check there, which was the blank check for your electric services. We got the invoice in subsequent to the meeting, filled in that check for $3,163.95. And then on page three for the current month, we're showing disbursements of $64,783. Director fees for the date shown, the brown corrosion services is relative to the cathodic protection. Just to note on Jackrabbits, about $6,700 of that cost is attributable to the SCADA, y'all share of that. And then there are seven customer deposit refunds. There's one check that did not make the report. I believe there was some discussion concerning the legal bill, and I, right before I left the office, received the revised billing in the amount of $2,000. So I prepared that check. Check number 10496 to Norton Rose Fulbright. And then you do have three blank checks in this group. We do not yet have your CenterPoint, your Direct Energy, or your West Harris County invoices. And Barry, do you want me to drop these off at your house tomorrow morning early?
You're muted, Barry.
I guess you can drop them to me and I'll take them to one of the other directors. I can't sign them. I'm without a right arm.
Would you rather I drop them, like Neil, you want me to drop them by your house?
Yeah, why don't you do that, Fran?
Okay, it's bright and early in the morning, like, I don't know, 6:30, 7 o'clock, and I can just send you a text that they're on your front porch.
Can you make...
I could actually walk them up here after I get off the phone call.
Yeah, that would be fine. I think 6:30, 7 o'clock in the morning, my dogs will go absolutely crazy.
Oh, I did not think about that. But I can do that. I can gather them up and bring them over when I get off the call today.
Okay, that's fine.
Okay, perfect. Well, we will move right along then to the next.
Neil, a quick comment. The bookkeeping report for 7-8 is not coming up on the web. It's just going back to the list of documents.
Can you speak up, please, Glenn?
Yes. I'm just saying the bookkeeping report, I'm clicking on it, and it's not opening up. So it's just going back to the list of documents, so I can't see it. Just an FYI.
It's Adam. I'm fixing it.
Thank you.
Fran, this is Barry. One quick question. The brown corrosion services.
Yes, sir.
Did Brent have a chance to look at that, or did he, since he was kind of the point person for it?
Hey, this is Keith. yes, Brent has seen that and was talked to this evening.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you. I'm glad you have the answer to that, Keith, because I did not. Then the next page, we got your 2 months budget to actual. You can see on the revenue, there's actually three significant variances in the line item. Tap fees, which I asked Keith about, and he said that was for Wilson Elementary. And then, of course, the West Harris County is coming under. And I was over-optimistic in how I prorated the maintenance tax collections. When I did the cash flow for the budget. The expenses, just the $13,000 about variance under, you can see really that the water production is a bit over. The perimeter fence project are what will be renamed quite probably the security line item. Of course, we've not set anything on that yet. And then, of course, your purchase water is coming in under and that would correspond to the underrun on your revenue and debit. But the bottom line, after just 2 months, in about $57,000 excess revenue. And then you'll go to your last page, and you can see those same year-to-date actuals divided out into your water, sewer, and other components. Very close to break even in your sewer and other, and of course the water shows $56,000 revenue, and that goes back to the tap fees that we did not budget for. And that's really all I've got on the report. If y'all have any questions on that, and then I guess we can talk about banks.
This is Adam. Bookkeeper's report should be good on the website now.
This is Neil. Thank you, Adam, and thanks, Fran. Are there any questions or comments on the bookkeeper's report? Do I hear a motion to approve?
This is Barry. I make the motion we approve the bookkeeper's report.
Okay.
Adam seconds.
Okay. Amend that to accept the bookkeeper's report, investment report, and authorized payment of bills. So we have a motion and second. Any discussion? Okay, hearing no discussion, I'll take a roll. Director Polanski votes yes. Barry Greer?
Yes.
Adam Rodriguez?
Yes.
Eric Worthington?
Yes.
Okay, motion carries 4-0. Thank you, Fran. The depository pledge agreement, and talk about banks.
We're going to talk about banks. This is Fran again. I think last month I kind of gave you sort of a brief overview of the situation. BBVA was acquired by PNC. PNC is not at all interested in retaining any public funds money. And so, at the time I was talking to a number of entities, and I have pretty much narrowed it down to one that I think would be the best fit for your district, and that would be Central Bank. Central Bank is not new to the MUD world. In fact, the heads of their MUD department, remember back to Old Riverway, Texas State Bank, that MUD desk was headed up by the two ladies that head up the public funds department at Central Bank. So all of the documentation, all of the requirements, it's all familiar to them. When I talk to them, they'll know what I'm talking about. Also, the depository pledge agreement, I believe Jane has a copy of that in your packet, and that is a form also that Central Bank is comfortable with. The big change that you're going to notice, and that no banking institution that I spoke with will do this for free anymore. The public funds have never been charged for anything. Service charges would be offset by interest. There were no wire fees, no NSF fees, no any kind of fees. That is no longer the case wherever you go. So I've got the fee schedule here from Central Bank. It will be a non-interest-bearing checking account. The maintenance fee is $10 a month, and there's a collateral management fee of $5 a month. So you're going to have those two costs. The other ones depend on your types of activity. There's a $15 wire fee, but that's only for outgoing wires. You will have very, very few of those out of your checking account. Stop pay used to be a freebie, and it is now going to be $20 per item. Y'all do not have many of those either. Return item charges, if there's a return item, there'll be a $10 charge for it. And any kind of account research that they will need to do, say there's a question about an endorsement on a check, for example, something like that, or that will be charged at an hourly rate, minimum of 1 hour of $25. Just kind of going through, because that's the first question everyone's been asking me about, what do you think it will be? And I'm guessing probably $50 to $60 a month is the charges that y'all will realize, that the average district will realize in service charges from Central Bank. But really our alternatives are extremely limited. Allegiance Bank is another banking institution I've been talking to, and we're very, very close to working everything out. There's still a few questions concerning some resolutions authorizing the bookkeeper's office to move money between accounts in the name of the district. There's still some discussions concerning verbiage there. And I don't remember if I mentioned last month or not, but the day after Columbus Day, so mid-October, is the day when the transition of will be complete on all of the operating end of it from BBVA to PNC. So it would be a very good idea to move as much out as we can now, get the checks to where we're writing them out of a MUD-friendly institution and to where we have a very good comfort level that collateral is being pledged as needed. So anyway, that is my recommendation as far as changing the bank would be to Central Bank. And I have we just got a bunch of signature cards printed up so that we can sort of get the ball rolling here for which districts do approve this. So when I bring the checks over, if y'all are amenable to Central Bank, I will have those included in the packet as well. And if y'all want me to explore other options, then those will not be included in the packet.
This is Neil.
I'll pause questions, comments.
Yeah, Fran, this is Neil. Is this the same recommendation that you're making to also to your other MUD clients? Or are there specifically tailored recommendation you're making to others?
This is Fran. This is the recommendation I'm making to all of my clients that have an operator. Because that's the other thing I did not mention. Central Bank is used to handling and knows how to handle all the different payment options that, you know, the operator offers as far as paying their water and sewer bills. And so Central Bank is my recommendation to every client I have that operates facilities.
Neil, this is Dimitri. If I could add a little bit of color to this.
Yeah.
Under Chapter 49 of the Water Code, which governs our board and the Public Funds Collateral Act, if we have an account that has an amount in excess of what's insured by the FDIC, then it needs to be collateralized either with certain statutorily authorized securities or line of credit. And so this depository pledge agreement is one of our forms that we enter into with the bank, in this case if it's Central Bank or Allegiance, that makes sure that they abide by that. And I think that's one reason why the successor to BBVA doesn't want to stay into this, because that's one of the unique aspects of holding public funds, especially MUDs, that they have to collateralize all of our amounts that we have on deposit in excess of the FDIC insurance.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Dimitri. Okay. Is there any discussion on this item? Any questions or comments?
This is Adam. Fran, you mentioned a $25 per hour fee on checking what endorsements, I believe. Is that
It would just be if something needed to be researched. If there was suspected fraud, and that's kind of when you open you. If somebody, the best example I can come up with, something that I do ask on not a regular basis, but the most common research I ask the bank to do is if we have sent out a check, the payee says they haven't gotten it. We look, it has cleared, and so we request a copy of the endorsement so we can see if the named payee is actually the one who received and deposited it. And that unique situation would fall under that $25 an hour for research.
Okay, and yeah, that's what I think the question I was getting at is what exactly that was involved with that. So yeah, that was my question was.
All right. So basically any special request, you know, outside the norm of process
deposits and payments would fall under that.
Okay, this is Neil. Do we have any more discussion or questions regarding the depository pledge agreement? Okay, do I hear a motion to approve as presented by Fran and Dimitri?
Makes the motion to approve the depository pledge agreement.
Do I hear a second?
This is Eric. I'll second.
Eric, go ahead.
Eric seconds.
This is Eric. Yep.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing no discussion, I'll take roll on the item. Director Polanski votes yes. Barry Greer?
Yes.
Adam Rodriguez?
Yes.
Eric Worthington?
Yes.
Okay, item passes 4-0. Fran, will that be, so that'll be included, signature copy will be included in the checks that you're sending to me or bringing to me?
And this is Fran. Yes, they will. And I'm going to try to mark them up and make it clear where everyone needs to sign.
Fran, this is Barry. Just a technicality. How do? I can't sign right now.
We'll get everyone else's signature so we can email in the start of the signature cards to get this going. And then when you're able to sign, we'll get you to add your signature to the card.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah, and I might also add that I'm not really sure about Brent's status as far as signing it with any immediacy. So that may also be an issue, but I think three of us can.
And actually, you know, if it would be easier or better, and we do intend to meet in person next month, I could just bring these documents to your meeting in August. It'll be there, and, you know, I can walk you through all of the documents, and, you know, perhaps everyone would be available to sign at that time.
Okay, and we'll advise.
If that would work better, do it that way.
Okay, and we'll advise if there are any changes to the meeting format for next month. Our intention is to meet in person as well as have it be a hybrid meeting as well. So,
and if it becomes hybrid or strictly a telephonic meeting, then I'll pass around with the check in August. So we'll take care of it next month.
Okay. Thank you, Fran.
Thank you.
All right. Next item, tax assessor collector's report, authorized payment.
Hi, everyone. This is Patty Rodriguez with Bob Leard Interest. Before we move into my report, one of the topics I was going to bring up today was my tax account bank as well. And listening to Fran, I didn't want to interrupt you guys when you're discussing, but I did want to bring up that Wells Fargo, who your tax account is with, has started implementing fees now as well, as a lot of banks are doing these days. And it's getting to the point where they're pretty high. They're pretty much charging for every single thing. Kind of like what Fran mentioned, the more activity there is in the account, the higher the fees. This past month, your district was charged $85.44. And again, that's going to vary and fluctuate every month. So what we started doing a few months ago when we started seeing these implementation of fees is we started looking around as well for other banks that, you know, wouldn't charge fees to the district and that are still willing to take on public funds and sign depository pledge agreements. So we came to Allegiance Bank as well, as Fran mentioned. Now, I don't know if Allegiance Bank is a approved, or how should I say it? It is an approved financial institution for your district, so we did verify that. But I don't know if they're not able to help Fran on her end. But as far as our end of it, they are willing to waive all fees. And, of course, that is for now. We never know what can happen in a couple years down the road. But they're saying to us for the tax account that there will not be any fees associated with your account. It's non-interest bearing as well. So with that being said, we had your attorneys review depository pledge agreements and create depository pledge agreements to send to Allegiance Bank for review. And Norton Rose has sent that over to them, and they have approved Norton Rose's version of the depository pledge agreement. So we found that out today, and we were hoping to ask you to put it on the agenda next month to approve moving your tax account from Wells Fargo to Allegiance Bank and approve the depository pledge agreement next month. So I just wanted to bring that up now since the bank conversation was fresh on your mind.
Patty, this is Neil. Is the depository pledge agreement that you're referring to a one-year agreement?
No, it is as long as the account is in place. As far as I'm concerned, is that correct, Dimitri?
I'm not sure he heard you.
Dimitri.
Oh, sorry, guys. Yeah. I think that's correct, but let me take a look. I got a draft of the agreement up here somewhere. Y'all can go on, and I'll see if I can find it.
Yeah, as far as I know, as long as the account is in place, a depository pledge agreement is in place. We've never had to redo depository pledge agreements year after year. Once they're signed and approved, until the account is closed, they're invalid. They are valid.
What about, this is Neil again, what if the bank wants to institute a fee schedule? What if they're going to institute a fee schedule?
Neil, guys, this is Dimitri. The way the termination works is there is no set term. It continues as long as the account is open, but either party can terminate upon 30 days prior written notice. So if something comes up that you guys don't like, you can just terminate and move your funds.
Okay, so even during the term of the agreement, the bank can institute a schedule of fees, and then we decide whether or not we are good with that.
Yes, that is correct.
Okay.
They are promising they won't, but so did Wells Fargo a couple of years ago. So it's just getting slim pickings out there with banks that are willing to take on public funds and collateralize over the $250,000 FDIC insurance.
Okay, so this will appear on next month's agenda.
Yes, that's what I'm asking. If the board is okay moving, then we can proceed with adding on the agenda next month to approve the change and to approve the DPA.
Okay.
Okay, all right, so good. If you go to my report now, the first page reflects your taxes receivable left at the end of June of $11,481.96. Page two reflects your activity for the month. You had $714.60 in taxes collected for the month, and you dispersed $2,774.71, leaving you with $23,786.87. Page three has your two checks listed for approval today. And, Neil, did you receive those?
I sure did.
Okay, perfect. Once everything clears, you'll be left with a balance of $21,643.16. Page four has your 2020 collection percentage at 99.3. Last year, you were at 99.2. Page five has your taxable values listed for 2020 and prior years. Your tax rates are shown and your adjusted levies on the right. Page six would normally have the breakout of your tax rate components, but you guys are all maintenance anyway, so it's pretty much all one column there. Next couple of pages, nothing to report, just notes and historical information. The page nine, you'll see one account we're keeping track of that is on a payment plan and they are paying timely. The next page is your top 30 delinquent taxpayer list. All the 2020 taxpayers that are delinquent have been turned over to your delinquent attorney. They have been assessed the 20% collection penalty, and your delinquent attorney will start sending out letters, making phone calls and whatnot. So hopefully we'll get some of those collected, and that's all I have. I was going to bring up the bank, but I already did, so that's all I have, unless you have any questions.
Patty, is there any additional, this is Neil, is there any additional information on the delinquent account located at 3911 Heather Sage?
Merit Star?
Yes.
Not that I know of. I don't have any information on there. Was there something in particular?
Well, that happens to be the address that has the extremely high water bill that we received a letter on. And I was wondering whether not only are we concerned about the tenant that lives there, but the owner of the property who actually emailed us in regards to their water bill. So I was just wondering about the status of their taxes.
No, as far as I know, I have not received any correspondence from them requesting a payment plan or anything like that. They've been sent all their statements that they're supposed to receive, and your delinquent attorney will start reaching out to them. So, you know, at some point, your delinquent attorney might recommend filing suit. It's such a small amount, though. You know, it usually takes a bit more to get to that point, or they can even come to you and see if you're willing to do like a water termination for the accounts that aren't responding. But as of now, I don't have anything extra to report on that account.
Okay, as a related question, Keith, are you there?
Yes, sir, go ahead.
Keith, is the water account for 3911 Heather Sage in Merit Star LLC's name?
No, sir, it's not. I believe it was, I can't remember who the fire account was under. I believe it was the Maristar. But if you guys recall last month, that particular property owner had asked for approval to go ahead and set up service for a tenant.
Right.
Which you guys authorized. So the current account, I don't have the name in front of me, but the current account, I know for certain is not in the Maristar LLC.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Okay, Patty, continue.
That's all I had, Neil, unless you all have anything else for me.
Okay. Any questions or comments on the tax assessor collector's report? Okay. Do I hear a motion to approve the tax assessor collector's report and authorize payment of bills?
Adam makes the motion.
This is Eric. I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion and second. Any discussion? Hearing none, I'll call the roll on the item. Director Polanski votes yes. Barry Greer?
Yes.
Adam Rodriguez?
Yes.
Eric Worthington?
Yes.
Okay, motion carries 4-0. Thank you, Patty. Appreciate it. And we'll look forward to getting that item DPA on the agenda next month.
Perfect. Thank you, guys.
All right. Thank you. All right. Agenda item number 7, review engineer's report, water plant walkthrough, et cetera, et cetera. We have gotten a letter from Bob Wempe, who is with Pake Dawson, who is our district engineer, who wrote us an email saying he had a last-minute conflict. Barry, can you address his email and any relevant information regarding the engineer's report?
Yeah, we, Brent and I met with Bob out there back last month and went over the punch list items. Brent talked to him about various items that were remaining, all of them relatively small items. And as Bob mentioned in his email, there's a couple of the programming issues that need to be addressed. And it's going to require a little bit of additional electrical work. And that's something that's still in the process of being taken care of.
Is this going to require a change order?
I think it's already included in the change order that we've got, I believe. I don't think there will be an additional one. Adam?
That was the $8,000 one from last month.
Right. Right. I'll have to check with Bob and make sure on that.
Okay. Keith, is there anything that you can add on this, on the punch list?
No, sir. Again, this is Keith. It's for the most part, it's the same, a few items that had been discussed. I mean, as Barry mentioned, and I agree, it's nothing overly significant, just a few kind of minor things that I think, will be beneficial in the long run and certainly would provide some level of certainty or comfort, if you will, as the operator. But really nothing else to add.
Okay, thanks, Keith. Okay, so that's basically all for the engineer's report. We'll look forward to hearing from Bob again next month. Agenda item number 8, receive a report from subcommittee to review the water plant control building construction project, take appropriate action. Barry, can you just give us a short synopsis of where that report is?
Well, again, we met with Bob out there about 3 weeks ago, I guess, and discussed all the issues. And we also discussed with Bob our concerns about, obviously, the way the delays that happened during the course of the project and the fact that it's not quite finished yet. We got some assurance from Bob that they will make every effort to try and maybe assign some assistance to him, to our district, going forward, to try to improve on the, the hands-on engineering work on the projects that we have going forward. So we're still in the process of putting something together. Brent and I are. We will report back next month, maybe if necessary.
Okay, that's fine. We appreciate your work on this, both you and Brent. Hopefully we can put a final stamp on this next month. And the punch list is done, and we get your report. Thanks, Barry. Discuss Jackrabbit Road PUD matters, take appropriate action. Did anybody attend the Jackrabbit meeting?
There wasn't one. It's next week. Same with WICRA.
Okay. All right. We're early in the month, so their meetings are next week. Okay. So that item is off the table. Operations report, Keith.
All righty, good evening again. This is Keith Arant with Municipal Operations. You all should have a copy there in front of you. For the month of June, I show you 1,079 connections, 5 of those being vacant, received $183,170.39 in revenue. As Fran mentioned, shy of $80,000 of that being tap fees, again, for the school. If you guys recall, a month or two ago, there was some discussion about how that fee was calculated, given that it was an existing non-taxable entity. So I'm still waiting for confirmation from some folks in our shop, but a portion of that tap fee may actually end up being refunded back to Penny Wilson. But I will get with Dimitri and Neil offline on that, but still yet to have an answer there. For the period ending June 2nd, total gallons produced from your well and received from the authority totaled 11,190,000 gallons. Billed out 10,670,000, accounting for 95% of the water. If you jump down there beneath that is the table with your aid receivables, the bulk of that being current. Again, have some balances there, 30, 60, and then even 120. Continuing to watch that and work on that. you know, kind of on a go-forward basis. Obviously, things have drastically improved over the last several months as we've kind of resumed normal operations for your raid order in terms of notification and termination. So we'll continue to keep a close eye on that. We took the four bacteriological samples, and those results were good. Scroll down to the second page there. That's the historical water production and accountability history. Again, there towards the bottom, for the period ending June 2nd, we show you at 95% accountability. And then there, just beneath that, is just the graph showing the water production and water accountability from 2020 over 2021. Scroll to the following page. It's a summary of our invoice there to the right, the month of June, totaling just over $10,000. Pretty quiet month. And then beneath that's the summary of some invoices that were sent to your bookkeeper for direct payment, the STP services. That was related to some booster pump work on two different occasions at the water plant, two different pumps. And then the brown corrosion, as Barry mentioned, that's tied to that cathodic protection job that was done there at the water plant. And then Enviro Services, just as you know, y'all have seen it before, but they do some rear easement sanitary sewer work for us. following that is your commercial usage. Again, they're showing you the consumption across all of your non-residential accounts. Really nothing to report or nothing of note. Obviously, usage is up. However, we've had some rain, so that certainly has helped. The page following that is your water plant log sheet for the calendar month of June. Again, seeing increased well production, as is typical in summer months, as the authority kind of begins to feather flows back and our demand increases. Again, no issues there, and we'll continue to keep a close eye on feed rates and whatnot to ensure that the well is operating as it should. The page following that is your uncollectible accounts. So there's three accounts that we would ask you all to deem as uncollectible, totaling $353.03. Just as a reminder, these are accounts that are closed with a owed balance. We take the deposit on file, and we apply it to the balance owed, and this is the amount remaining. Just, again, no approval necessary. In 136, we have the agreement with Collections Unlimited, so these accounts are rolled over to them, and they pursue them for collections. And then the final page is your paid list. So again, full of large balances, in large part driven by increased consumption, but, you know, for the most part, we're kind of back to business as usual in terms of, you know, there's not any accounts that are floating out there with a 90-day balance or something like that. So in pretty good shape there. One thing that I would just briefly mention, Dimitri may be able to opine on this and a lot more than me, but I know that kind of across the industry and really throughout all of our districts, we're making some changes as to how we report various information such as your delinquent list or your uncollectible accounts. More so, we're going to be pulling out addresses and names, obviously, just for the sake of the customer's confidentiality. And that's related to a House bill that was recently passed in that most recent legislative session that deals with, again, customer information and being confidential. So you'll see that next month. And as far as the written report, that's really all I have. As Neil mentioned, I did include in my email earlier today, ultimately the written request from the account holder at 3911 Heather Sage. So just by way of reminder, and I know we discussed it the last few months, but ultimately they have a balance that's in excess of $3,000 owed to 136. That's in large part the product of 2 months of usage, one of which was during the freeze, and then immediately following there was a billing period. There was about 5 days of consumption that totaled almost a little over 140,000 gallons. So they've provided the email asking that the board would waive the fees, given that it's during the freeze, given that it's during the pandemic, so on and so forth. So certainly, bring it up to you guys. We did pull the meter. We did test it. We hooked it off to a third-party group, had it bench tested. The meter came back fine. We met out on site. There was no indications of any, you know, issue or anything. So there's been no smoking gun of, you know, that we can put our hands on that would explain the increased consumption. And the last item that I was going to briefly just touch on, there's been a couple of the last month or two, there's been some discussions about the gravity line that parallels Pine Forest that conveys the district sewer to the joint facility. If you guys recall, we had televised that not long after we did that most recent pipe bursting job there where we replaced that one segment of line. If you guys recall, when we looked at that last time, I mean, there were certainly signs of that line beginning to age and show signs of failure, but no significant, you know, nothing that warranted us to go out tomorrow and fix it. You know, as we've kind of, you know, Bob and I have kind of kicked it around. I've looked at the videos and everything else again. You know, I think given the fact that we still, you know, at least for the time being, it appears that we still have a fairly decent host pipe. I think it may be beneficial and prudent for the district to at least price out what it would cost to slip line that sanitary sewer line. So that's a little bit easier and cheaper option to go in and rehab that line than like pipe bursting. However, it requires that we have a good host pipe. So, you know, it may, like I said, maybe prudent to do that while we already know that we've got a good host pipe. So we're actually working with a few other subs that we've done some work with on some other slip line work. And so we were going to have them give us some pricing, slip line that line, just again, so that we can kind of chew on that as 136 and then kind of make our next, you know, make, you know, let's kind of decide where we go from there. So Keith, that's all I have, unless you have any questions.
Keith, this is Neil. What is the long-term lifespan of pipe bursting versus slip line?
It's a good question. I mean, I think there's kind of pros and cons to both. I would anticipate that probably the long-term, you know, life expectancy is probably greater for pipe bursting than it would be for slip lining. Essentially, with pipe bursting, you're reducing the size of the line. So if it's an 18 inch currently, it may be reduced to a 16 inch line. But I mean, essentially, you're pulling a brand new line through an old one. And so, you know, you've got essentially a new line in place. Whenever you slip line, or sometimes you'll hear it referred to as CIPP, cured in place piping. Essentially, they pull a sock through the main, they hit it with steam, and it swells that sock up, and it adheres. You know, it's kind of a resin-based sock. It adheres to the existing pipe and kind of lines that pipe and you know, increases the life of what's there. But I think long-term, I think if we were to slip line that line, I think that there would be no reason for us to anticipate that we don't get, you know, a fairly good amount of time or use out of the line before there's any need to maintain it down the road. But that's a long way of me answering your question. I think ultimately pipe bursting is probably going to have a longer shelf life than that of slip line, but I think slip line is certainly a viable option, and it's done all over town all the time.
This is Neil. What's the minimum lifespan of either one? I mean, what can we expect? Can we expect at least 10 years?
For sure. I mean, I think the line that's there now is probably, I mean, it's reinforced concrete pipe. I mean, it's been there since, you know, 80s. And, you know, I think if we did the pipe bursting, we'd come back with, again, just a high-density polyethylene, so an HDPE pipe. You know, you'd get another 40 years out of that line. I don't see why you wouldn't. I think if you were to slip line, you know, I think, you know, barring some sort of catastrophic failure, I mean, I think you've got, you know, 20 years at least out of a line that's been slip line. But the only question that I can ask with some other folks in our shop and see, and again, that's something that we can have to keep in the back of our mind. Like I said, we can price out the slick line option, and then as we explore kind of the shelf life of that, you know, if you guys would like, I can also price out bursting, you know, so that we kind of have all of the information at, you know, at your fingertips so we can make the most informed decision.
Okay, well, why don't we get some, hold on one second.
This is Adam. I know I would be interested in the prices of both slip lining and pipe bursting.
Yeah, that'll work. Work on getting both together and let you guys chew on it. And while we're talking, Adam, I don't know if you saw my email, but I did get that annual payment, that alert notification. I got that taken
care of. Okay. Yeah, we're set up on that. One question I had on, I think I emailed you last month about a guy that said his plumber had seen a tree root in a sanitary sewer. Were you able to find out anything on that?
Yes, I need to circle back, Adam. It's certainly not uncommon. What we can do, I mean, there's a couple of ways that we can correct the issue. But let me, I think one of them that you'd sent me was a storm. I think we've looked into that, and I think it was sent over to the county. And then, but let me follow up on that sanitary issue, and I will let you know.
Okay.
Okay, apologies for running out like that. My dogs went crazy when Fran brought the checks to the front door. Okay, Keith, and we discussed any changes. We discussed the surface defect in the patio homes, and I sent you an email regarding the DVCA's position on that, right?
Sir, that's correct.
Okay.
Okay.
I believe it's 5922 Heather Sage, maybe?
That sounds right. Give me just a second and I'll tell you.
I don't have that email right in front of me. Anyway, we received from Keith an estimate of the work necessary to correct the drainage issue behind the patio home at, I believe it's 3922 Heather Sage, perhaps. And we had talked about a 50% cost-sharing agreement between the MUD and the DVCA on that. I spoke with the president of the DVCA, Eric Toure, who stated that the DVCA board would like to present this issue to the Harris County Commissioner's Court to see if the Harris County Flood Control District will take responsibility for effecting that repair on that line. And basically, we're going to let them kind of pursue that and see if Harris County finally takes responsibility for that line before we do anything. So basically, any work that we are planning to do on that that line is tabled for the time being. Okay, let's talk for a minute or so about the issue with the account at 3911 Heather Sage with the $3,000 plus water bill. Do we have any discussion or recommendations on that from the board?
This is Adam. I feel like I used to be sympathetic, but it seems like more and more red flags keep getting raised. I mean, the account is behind on their taxes. It was whatever. I looked up the on the appraisal district, and it was previously owned by the individual, and now it's co-owned by the owner and the limited liability corporation. I mean, like I said, we haven't found anything wrong with the meter. I don't know if a disgruntled tenant was running the meter to generate a bill that he thought he was going to stick the owner, but like I said, I'm becoming less sympathetic the more we look into this.
Well, Keith said that the meter checks out as being accurate. So what's the board's pleasure on this?
This is Eric. They never provided any type of proof that a plumber came out to fix any issues on the property, right?
Eric, this is Keith. So, I mean, what we had done with them is essentially what we had suggested to any customer in 136 that had a leak or, you know, high consumption due to the freeze was, you know, if you can produce a, you know, a plumbing, in, you know, an invoice from a plumber or something that says, hey, you had a supply, you know, then at least we have some sort of latitude. And, you know, we had those conversations with them originally. They had a plumber go out, and the only thing they've provided to us from the plumber is more or less just saying, the plumber went to the home and there were no issues and everything was fine.
Okay. Is there anybody on the board that is in favor of making an adjustment to the customer bill? Okay, Keith. If you want to communicate to the customer that the board has considered their request for an adjustment and took no action on it at this meeting, if they have additional proof to provide the board or an explanation of why this water use happened, then they need to get that to the board for future consideration. But right now we're taking no action. The bill is owed by the customer.
Yes, sir. I'll let him know. Thanks.
Okay. Is there anything else on your report, Keith?
No, sir. That's all I have.
Water Smart?
Yes, sir. That's all in process. Again, that's just kind of the annual AWBD exercise that we do and we have done for the last several years. So, yes, sir. That's all in process. No action needed tonight.
Okay. All right. Do I hear a motion to approve the operations report, authorize repair and termination of service to delinquent accounts?
This is Barry. I'll make the motion.
Adam seconds.
Okay. We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing no discussion, I'll call the roll on the item. Director Polanski votes yes. Barry Greer?
Yes.
Adam Rodriguez?
Yes.
Eric Worthington?
Yes.
Motion carries 4-0. Okay, thank you, Keith. Next item is consider proposed security contribution agreement between Harris County MUD 136 and the Deerfield Village Community Association and take appropriate action. I think at this time I'm going to defer to Dimitri Millis, who is our legal representative with Norton Rose Fulbright. And there's been some communication from Dimitri to me regarding a recommendation and analysis of the agreement. And Dimitri, it's yours.
Neil and board, as a bit of background, a lot of the discussion related to the possible security contribution from us to the DVCA happened at the May meeting. And a very direct question was asked of me as to whether or not that security contribution would be lawful. And I advised you guys that it was an express power of the district to provide funds for security, either through a direct contract that we have with security services or through a contribution to an entity like the DVCA. You guys then took up that proposed agreement, which we drafted at last month's meeting, and you approved it. After that approval, through some correspondence that I was reviewing in response to a public information request, the question was brought up as to whether or not that security agreement was for officers with the power to make an arrest. So the question was brought up, and I asked Neil, and I found out subsequent to that that question that the SEAL – a security agreement that the DVCA has is not for officers that have the power to make arrests. And as soon as I found out, I contacted Neil again, and I advised him that even though it was late in the game and you guys had already advised it, it was not my advice for you guys to go forward with that security agreement, given the intensity of scrutiny related to this contribution. When I initially read the SEAL agreement that Neil had forwarded to me from the DVCA, the way it was written was that it was for a commissioned armed officer with canine unit and marked patrol vehicle. And given my own experience representing 15 MUDs and Joint Operations Board, I haven't seen an HOA that a district has contributed to for an agreement for officers that didn't have the power to make arrest. And given that it was late in the game and after I had already given you guys my unqualified approval for it, I apologize. Again, given the scrutiny of this, I should have verified that a commissioned armed officer under the SEAL agreement did in fact have the power to make arrests. And again, this has caused a lot of heartache to you guys. We as a firm and I as an attorney am dedicated to representing you guys. I take great pride in doing that. As a show of good faith and as our commitment to the district, what I propose to do is to ease the burden on the district is to reduce our bill this month. So our bill for this month, as it originally stood, was at $6,600. There's been a lot of time put into a lot of the issues related to the contribution. I want to reduce that to a flat fee of $2,000. So that not only accounts for the roughly $3,100 that Jane and I have put into researching and drafting the security agreement, but an additional $1,500 as well, again, to show our commitment to the district. Guys, I am your lawyer. I take great pride in that. I gave you an unqualified opinion that our contribution to the security agreement that the DVCA has with SEAL was something that was allowed under law. It's unfortunate the circumstances that transpired. I found out that, in fact, it wasn't for an officer that has the power to make arrests. As soon as I found out, I let Neil know. But again, given all of the circumstances that arose, the pressure that you guys have been under, the scrutiny, that was something that I should have brought up and made darn sure and done the diligence to ensure that that commissioned armed officer was an officer that had the power to make arrests. And for that, guys, I apologize. But again, I hope this shows our commitment to the firm, to the district that the firm has, that I have as a lawyer, that Jane has as a paralegal. We take great pride in representing you guys. And you know, I apologize I'm sorry.
Well, this is Neil. I appreciate your explanation, Dimitri. Martin Rose and its predecessor, Fulbright and Jaworski, has been the district's representative and district's attorney since the very beginning of the district. And y'all have provided us with tremendous legal support, reliable, comprehensive, and authoritative legal support over the years. I consider this a blip compared to the sum total of service that you guys have provided to us over the years. We appreciate the fact that you're giving us basically a credit on the hours that are put toward the crafting of this agreement, and it's better that we found out about it before we actually signed something. So what I would ask from you at this time is guidance as to how we move forward. Do we consider the item again, or do we rescind the previous vote?
Well, Neil, so the agreement that you guys approved has not been executed, so there's no binding agreement. So at this point, you guys would take it up as a motion to rescind your approval to the agreement, and that should be the end of it.
Okay, is there any discussion on the item? Do I hear a motion to rescind the previous approval for the security contribution of Harris County Mud 136 to Deerfield Community Association?
This is Barry. I'd like to make that motion.
This is Eric. I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion and second. Any discussion?
One question I had on the, I think the HOA's monthly newsletter. It seemed like the security committee was ready to spend extra money they thought they were getting. I assume the HOA's been informed of the situation.
The HOA, this is Neil, the HOA president, Eric Toure, has been informed, and this is, the issue has become public knowledge as of this meeting.
Okay.
Yeah, I can comment that, this is Glenn, I'm the security chairman for DVCA, and we had a meeting on Tuesday night, and we were not aware of that, so I'm sad about that because we were coming up with some pretty interesting things that would have helped expand our security.
This is Brent, vice president of the HOA, and yes, we were aware of it.
Okay.
Any further discussion on the item? We have a motion and second. Okay, I'll take a vote on the item. Director Polanski votes yes. Barry Greer?
Yes.
Adam Rodriguez?
Yes.
Eric Worthington?
Yes.
Okay, item passes 4-0. The agreement is rescinded at this time and is not tabled. It is, as of this time, the agreement is not in force. Again, Dimitri, I appreciate you attending tonight. I appreciate your efforts on our behalf, and I know that we all go through learning experiences, and sometimes they're painful, and sometimes they're just part of life, but I appreciate you owning up to this, and it means a lot about your character. So, We appreciate your work, and I would like you to continue on with us.
Thank you, Neil.
This is Barry. I'd like to second that as well, Dimitri. Things do happen, and like Neil said, at least before we put signatures to it, and it's unfortunate that we've got a community here that doesn't seem to be able to get over the hump there with regard to this important issue to the quality of the neighborhood. But anyway, that's all I've got to say.
Thank you, Barry.
Okay. Thank you, Dimitri, and appreciate your work. Okay. We'll go to the next agenda item, report on the West Harris County meeting. I guess that hasn't happened yet. As per Eric, as far as the 84-inch water line that the West is putting in through the district. I'm sure everybody is absolutely thrilled about that. And I'm kind of joking. Tarnbrook is closed off, and it should be closed off for a period of a couple weeks. Keith, can you, I don't know, Keith, if you're there, we do or we do not have a water line that will be impacted by that construction project?
Neil, this is Keith Nelson. I don't believe so. I will circle back and confirm our plans, and I'll take a look. No, I don't. It could have no conflict.
They do have a water line staked out, at least a notification bollard. On the east side of Tarnbrook. I don't know if it's an old bollard or what, but there is something that says waterline.
Okay, I'll take a look. I'll be out in the district tomorrow anyway, so I'll take a look.
Well, that could be the West Harris County's 36-inch line.
Yeah, I mean, that would be my, and you know, that's what I would assume. I mean, we've there's not a water line on 136 that's been marked by 136, but let me look and I'll confirm. Right.
This is Barry. I do recall in the town hall meeting, they said that they were going to have a bypass line. I don't, maybe it was a sewer line they're going to have to pump around. Is that right, Adam?
They said sewer. I want to say they didn't think they were going to have to take the water line out, or they would be able to connect it. I think they were just concerned about the sanitary line.
Okay, this is Neil. We just need to make sure that our customers aren't inconvenienced by this, because this 84-inch water line that they're putting in does not serve the customers of 136. It's simply going through 136 to serve people that are in far west Harris County or far north Fort Bend County. It is not for us, so we shouldn't be inconvenienced more than necessary. Discuss district website. Adam, do you have anything on that?
Yes. Let's see. We added a couple things on the contact us. We've listed Jane for the Freedom of Information requests. We've also added West Harris County Regional Water Authority, their contact info for the pipelines, or for the pipeline going through the easement, so that residents can contact them. We've also made it clear that we are not the authority and to contact them with issues. Let's see. And then I also have added the section to the top of the page, a section for the text message alerts. I emailed the directors what I had on there. I got the... Glenn gave me some grammatical feedback that I fixed. I go into some detail on the different alert types. I think Neil mentioned that maybe that was too much detail. So I was curious if, like I said, if there's too much on here and we should just keep it simple. Here are the alert types and not go into detail about them. Again, I put more then maybe is necessary, so I wanted to see what y'all's opinion was on going into what a drought restriction text alert would entail, what a service alert would entail.
By the way, Adam, this is Barry, my email went into junk email.
Yep, mine did too.
Okay.
So yeah, I'll get to that on the text on the next agenda item.
Okay.
This is Neil. Mine did not. It just came into my inbox.
Okay.
Excuse me, this is Colleen Vera. Can I make a comment?
Please do.
On the website where you did put in Jane's email, but you spelled it out like instead of a dot being there, it says the word dot. Instead of at, the symbol for at on an email address, it says the word at. So we just need to make that correction, please.
Now, the spelling it out was done on purpose because we have, even with like our form that where you can send messages to directors, there's basically internet bots constantly scouring the internet that search for emails to spam. And I'm trying to minimize the spam email that Jane would get if we put the actual at symbol and the actual email address directly on the website.
Oh, okay, thanks. I just thought that was an error. I've never seen that before.
No, yeah, like I said, we're trying to prevent spam, like I said, the spam bots from getting another email to use.
Hey, Neil, this is Glenn. Back to your question that you had asked, or Adam, that you had asked about feedback, since I did find the grammatical things, but I can see where Neil is saying that it's more detailed, but the way you've got it set up, you hit just the four issues or the four types of text just by themselves, and it's all there, and then there's the scan code and all of that, and that's like a page one, and that's for people who don't care. And then you give some additional information for those who'd like to know. I think it's actually very nice and could alleviate some questions that some people may have, that that for those that are detail oriented, they're going to look down further and look at it. The other ones are going to look at the first page, because frankly, most people today don't go scroll down. They just they look at the first part and they move on. So that's my feedback to what you had put together and your question.
I did add one line at the bottom that says these guidelines are current and are subject to change as conditions require, to notify residents of urgent issues, to try to, again say that these aren't set in stone and we'll adjust them as necessary.
Okay, this is Neil. Is there anything additionally on the website, or do you want to just go sort of dive into the text message notice?
Yeah, we can go right straight into text messages.
Okay. What's the status on that?
The text message service is now up and running. So issues we had first, their user agreement did not include the portion that Texas requires that says you won't boycott Israel or do business with terrorists. I was able to, again, the people at the website have been very responsive to our emails, and they actually, I made the case that there's 900 MUDs in Texas that may be interested in using their service, and so they actually updated their user agreements to include the language that Jane had provided, so that, again, maybe they can get more business out of this. And they registered under like the Texas Ethics Commission website. So I think we've got that. Again, their user agreement has the language we need. On the payment, Keith has used their credit card to make the payment for the year. So our service is set up and it's active. All of the directors should now have received an email. Check your junk, like Barry said, check your junk email folder. It will allow you to, the directors, to go in and register an account so that as an administrator, you will be, any of the directors will be able to send the text messages. And like I said, the website's now up. I doubt anybody's seen it yet. So after the meeting, I plan to put the announcement on the news and info page of the website and add the next door announcement that to get allow people to start signing up for the service. But yes, it is now active. And we've also got a QR code you can scan with your phone. Even I was able to get it to work, so it should be relatively easy for residents to use. But it's something we can also try to include in the newsletter this week or this month, so that even if people aren't on Nextdoor, hopefully they'll see the newsletter that goes to everybody and can either go online or scan it with their phone to be added to the text message service. And that is all I got.
Hey, Adam. Right now I'm on the website and I click the create account using an email address, and it's saying sign up for Adam text alerts. You probably want that to be HC or your MUD 136 alerts.
Okay. Yep, I do need to fix that.
Okay, Adam, I would suggest that any promotional piece, or any, I would suggest that the piece that you're going to add to Nextdoor, where you basically make this public announcement that the text message alert system is active, I would also send a copy of that to the Deerfield office so that they can send out an e-blast. I think between the e-blast,
yeah,
the Deerfield newsletter, and Nextdoor, we probably will hit the vast majority of people in the community. We're still going to miss some, but if there are other ways to let people know about it, then, you know, as well as our website, which probably three people look at on a regular basis.
Right.
And Adam, this is Jane. If you can you send us a copy of that agreement that with the incorporated provisions? And then I think the other thing that I need is if they've registered with the Texas Ethics Commission, they should be able to file a 1295 certificate, and it'll generate a little form that you can send to me, which will allow me to acknowledge that for them.
Okay.
And if you have any questions about it, just shoot me an email.
Okay.
Okay, anything else on the text message alert system? Adam, is that it on the alert system?
Yes, that's it.
Okay. We appreciate your work on that, Adam. It's important. We're in hurricane season. Outages could happen due to anything, so we do appreciate your work. Article for DBCA newsletter, Barry Greer has informed me that he is unable to write and type. Is that correct, Barry?
That's correct for the time being.
Does anybody have a burning desire to do the newsletter article? Anybody other than Neil Polansky?
Oh, well, I can do it this month so that I can get the, like I said, the QR code and the website stuff in there.
That would be awesome. I appreciate that, Adam.
Thank you, Adam.
Neil,
yes.
Real quick on the newsletter. Today I was able to finalize the recycling event, and I have been in communication with Eric with DVCA, and we're looking at October 26th.
Is that a Wednesday?
No, it should be a Saturday. Hold on. Let's see.
How about 23rd?
Did I get that date wrong? 23rd, sorry. Okay. The 16th was the backup. I'm blending days together. So it looks like everybody's in agreement that the 23rd is the best day. Fees have gone up this year a little bit for recycling, but I don't think it's anything that's going to break the bank. And we're ready to roll on this, so we can actually ink this if you want to today, and I can let DVCA know. We can put it in our newsletter going out for this month or next month, and they will be able to put it in, make a second note on it. And I've also spoken to Jay with the men's group, and he said the 23rd works for them too.
I think, Eric, we're going to have to put that as an agenda item for next month.
Okay.
And, up until October 23rd. So let Jane, if you can add an agenda item for the e-cycle and shredding event.
Can we go ahead and, excuse me, I'm sorry to interrupt, but this is Barry. Yeah. Can we go ahead and announce the date? Or do we have to wait?
We don't have a signed agreement.
Okay.
All right. And we can't sign an agreement until we have an agenda item, right? Is that right, Jane?
Yeah, that would be ideal to have an agenda item for it.
Okay, then let's put it up for next week. My month.
Okay. Yeah, let's add that as an agenda item, and once we do that, we can we can publicly announce it.
Sounds good.
Okay. All right. Discuss meeting format. I would like to our plan is to go hybrid next month, meaning we would meet at the rec center physically. Whatever consultants want to meet with us physically can meet with us physically, or we can continue to do it hybrid and have a Zoom going as well. Probably won't be the easiest thing to do. If you're amenable, Adam, I know that this is a lot to ask of you in addition to your other responsibilities, but could you get in touch with Eric Toure to get the procedures in place for conducting the technical side of the next meeting?
Yeah.
I know that it's, for me, it seems like it's a daunting task because I'm a Neanderthal when it comes to technology. But Adam, I think that it's probably in your wheelhouse more than me.
Okay. Yeah, if it's not a phone, I'll do it.
Okay. All right. So the preliminary plan is to go hybrid next month with the five of us plus whoever wants to attend being at the clubhouse as it was prior to COVID. All right. Agenda items for next meeting, August 12th. I think we've kind of covered that. Is there anything else that we need to put on the agenda?
Hey, Neil, this is Dimitri. I should mention that the governor's announced his intention to revoke the emergency declaration as of September 1. So a lot of the provisions that were suspended in the Open Meetings Act will be put back into place beginning in September.
Okay. So we can so is that like a mandatory resumption of physical meetings?
It is. There is a provision in the Open Meetings Act that would allow us to have a hybrid meeting if the board makes a declaration that an emergency still exists, one of which is a pandemic. So we will have some flexibility, but for all intents and purposes, you guys ought to think that it's going to be like it was before the pandemic.
Well, before the pandemic, we didn't have any, I mean, it was everybody showed up to the meeting and we didn't have a transcript.
That's correct. Again, even before under Chapter 49, there is, or under 551, there is an opportunity for the board to have a meeting that's partly telephonic if you guys can make an emergency declaration. And in that case, there is an opportunity for you guys to meet hybrid, both physically. In that situation, you would have to have a physical meeting location with two-way communication, and it's got to be open to the public, but it wouldn't require the physical presence of the directors or the consultants. Again, that would require you guys to make a finding that an emergency exists, even in a state, even in a situation where the governor himself has not made that finding. You guys have that power. You guys had that power before. It wouldn't be as unrestrictive as it has been, because with the current suspension of the Open Meetings Act, you guys have not had to have a physical meeting location at all, open to the public. Regardless of how it plays out after September 1, there will need to be a physical meeting location that's put on the agenda, and that is open to the public.
So let me understand this. If we're going to do a hybrid meeting, meaning that we meet physically and then we allow for a Zoom, in addition, have a Zoom meeting as well, we have to declare an emergency.
Yes. And I can send you the provision, Neil, about what the finding that you guys would have to make in order for that to be effective.
Okay. And that's effective September 1.
That's correct.
Why don't you send that to me, or can you send it to the board just as information?
Sure.
Send it to the board as information. We'll take a look at it. If after looking at it, and if I have any questions, I'll communicate directly with you, Dimitri. If I have any questions and it looks like we are not ready to declare that emergency, then perhaps the next meeting will continue to be a Zoom meeting. And then in September, it will be a total physical meeting, like before COVID.
Right.
Because I'd really like to see what the language is on this emergency that we have to declare.
Okay.
Do you have any feel as to whether, as to how your member, your consulting MUDs are going to handle this item?
Yeah, Neil, most of my MUDs are going to have a strictly physical meeting. There are situations where some of the directors on these boards either have a particular susceptibility to the virus or live with someone who does. And in those situations, we're going to be a little bit more flexible.
Okay, but if you're going to be more flexible, you have to declare the emergency.
That's right. But that's within your legislative power to do. That's y'all's, you have the power under the code to make that determination.
Okay. So we could declare, we could as a board declare the emergency and basically kind of ignore that and just do a physical meeting.
You could do that, yes. But if we declare the emergency and provide for telephonic instruction for the public to participate, then we have to provide the okay. equipment for that.
Okay. All right. Yeah, if you can just get us a copy of that, what the emergency declaration of a public emergency includes, we'll take a look at it and we'll, you know, you'll get some feedback from me as to how we're going to continue for next month. And then September, after the public emergency is lifted by the governor, we'll decide, we'll have to make a decision as to what our September meeting will look like.
Okay.
Can you, so that'll be on the agenda. Can we put that on the agenda for August?
That's a good idea. Yeah.
Okay. Well, thanks for throwing that monkey wrench into the business. okay. All right. Well, that's good. I think we're done, unless anybody has any parting shots for the board or for each other. Okay. Have a good evening, everybody.
See you guys.
Turn off your sprinklers. You don't need them.
Have a good one.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.